good to see everybody out again this evening, coming together to spend just another short amount of time in relation to everything else that we do within our week, simply to come together to sing songs of praise to God, to worship Him with spirit and with truth, and to uplift not only God the Father, but ourselves as well by being here tonight. I'm going to take just a couple of moments this evening, and I want to look at very quickly, and again, as we go through these song services and move forward, I am learning what it means to shorten up and get done. This morning it took a little bit longer than I normally would like, but I will try to go through rather quickly this evening a few thoughts concerning a look at Luke, the 9th chapter and verse 23. And I can do that because I can trust that after you've heard the lesson this evening that you'll be willing to go home and dig into it just a little bit more. That you'll take the opportunity that you've been given now to consider some things and to go a little further. However, before I start, I have to say I very much appreciate a lot of the things that I've been hearing today with regard to the lesson last week, with regard to the idea of lying and how we looked at lying. And I have to admit, I even got caught myself today. One of our sisters in Christ let me know at the end of my sermon, she said to me, "Did you realize that you said you never look at Facebook?" Maybe I should have said, "I very rarely go to Facebook to get information." But it's good when I hear that kind of conversation, when I'm listening to people, it puts a smile on my face because it makes me feel like the time that we're spending is in fact valuable and that you are thinking about it. And I honestly believe that more than anything else, that's what I try to do for you. I try to give you something to think about to get your mind working so that when things come up later on in the week, you can say, "Oh yeah, wait a minute. We kind of talked about that. Clearly that's been done and clearly I was a little bit off myself." So I wanted to say I appreciate your attendance on a regular basis and your concern and wanting to do what God would have us to do. Very quickly, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." A very simple, very direct statement, much like some of the statements that we've been trying to look at periodically when we've pulled out a scripture or two and said, what else is in there? So we're going to look and see what else is in there. And I believe there are basically four things that we can look at when we look at this that are laid out to consider, and that's what we're going to look at very briefly. The first idea, if anyone desires to come after me. Some references say, if anyone chooses to come after me. And that's where we get the idea of it takes a definite decision. Following Christ is something that we either choose to do or we choose not to. But if you want to follow after Christ, if you want to come to Him, as it talks about in the 23rd verse here, you have to make a definite decision. And so what does that mean to us? I believe many people today have difficulty deciding which master to serve. They try to hold on to God with one hand and with worldly things with the other. And so then you find yourself in this constant tug of war between doing what you know God wants you to do and what you might want to do yourself. And you find yourself in this situation where you're grasping for something else. Imagine if you were hanging from the side of a building and you had one arm holding on tight to what was above you and you were holding on as strong as you could, but your other hand wasn't there supporting you. It was reaching towards something else. And then you took that hand away and you put it up here. How much more strength and stability do you have when you hold on by both hands? You don't find yourself flailing as much. You don't find yourself struggling as much because you've got a firm grasp with both hands. You can see we've got several verses here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, if we look at that, says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And then if we look at Matthew 19, verses 16 through 30, Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31, and Luke 18, 18 through 30 are all parallel accounts of something that you're all familiar with. They're parallel accounts of the rich young ruler. They're parallel accounts of someone that has a pretty strong hold on what this earth has to offer. And we know he does, as we mentioned slightly this morning in our lesson, we know he does because he talks about all of the things that he's done. Christ, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. What more do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Christ says, one thing you lack. Go and sell all you have and come follow me. And what happens? The rich young ruler goes away sad. And it even tells us why he goes away sad. He goes away sad because he has many possessions. He's got his hands on all these other things that he doesn't want to let go of. So where does that leave us when we leave the rich young ruler? When you stop and think about it, at the account of the rich young ruler, when we leave him, what condition is he in? He's in the same condition as he's feeling. He's in a sad condition. He's not just feeling sad. He's in a sad condition because he can't do what Christ would have him do. We know that the Word of God teaches not to love the things of this world. I'll give you some verses to consider. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us to love not the world nor the things in the world. Why? Because those things are passing away. That's what he's teaching. Those things are not always going to be here. In 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We are of God, but there are these other temptations out there from the wicked one that try to get a hold of us. And James 4 and verse 4, I'll let you take that home with you. Make sure you read that. It reminds you of not making yourself a friend of the world, or if you do, you make yourself an enemy of God. Looking a little bit forward here, we must make a concrete decision to follow God. A direct, definite, deliberate decision. It's a choice that we must make. Joshua 24 and verse 15, the short version, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve." And he talks about, if you think it's strange, as he's going through this, but he simply tells people, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me, I've made a definite decision. I'm going to serve the Lord. And then if you look at, and it may not be nearly as common a verse, 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, it says, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word." He's saying, how long will you falter between these two things? If you believe that the Lord is God, then let go of Baal and follow God. If you don't believe that the Lord God is God, then let go of him and follow Baal. But don't falter between two things and not make a choice. Looking at the second idea in our verses, it says, let him deny himself. That requires a daring discipline. To deny yourself, you have to be able to discipline yourself. Many people today are self-indulgent. They fall into practice, or they fail to practice, self-denial and restraint. Some verses that talk about that, we know in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 that Daniel refused to eat of the delicacies of the king. He restrained himself and kept himself from these things because he wanted to remain pure and true to who he was to his Father in heaven. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28 says, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." Why were walls erected in olden times, in biblical times? They were created for security to prevent destruction. So if you are like a wall without, or a city without a wall, you are simply wide open for destruction, is what he's telling them. We also have verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27, and Titus 2, 11 through 14. Again, for time's sake this evening, we won't read those, but you are able to write those down and to consider what the Word of God has to say. We need to set rules and limits for ourselves, and if we do so, God will help us overcome. We might say, I can't do this on my own. But if we set those rules and we set those limits and we allow Him to, God will be the one that will help us overcome those things we don't believe we can overcome. We have the strength through God and through His Son to be able to do that. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And in James chapter 4 and verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you resist and if you submit to God, he'll flee from you. Okay, we're going to go back to what Rob does all the time. If you don't submit to God and if you don't resist the devil, he's going to stay right there with you. People want to say when I'm tempted, people want to say the devil made me do it. No, we have free will. He encouraged us to do it, but did you first submit to God and resist it so that he would go away? Or did you allow him to stay right there with you and continue to influence you? You see, a person can't have influence on you if they haven't got your ear, if they're not right there talking to you all the time. So send Satan away. Don't let him be there with you and talk in that ear and convince you to do something you don't want to do. Then we're also told, take up his cross daily. Some versions, I don't know, may not have the term daily in there. I believe this requires daily devotion. It requires an effort that we're devoted to. Many people are devoted to selfish interests. They fail to win over their self because they neglect time with God or fail to seek him. You ever think about that? The idea of neglecting spending time with God or simply failing to see him, it's certainly something that we would want to consider. Several verses that we can look at, Deuteronomy the 4th chapter and verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. We know what that means because just this past Wednesday we talked about what it means with our heart and with our soul when we're taught how to love the Lord our God. We have several references in the book of Psalm. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25 gets to the heart of the idea of neglecting to spend time with God and neglecting to spend time with fellow Christians. Y'all should know it. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 24 and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't neglect the opportunity to spend time not only with fellow Christians, but with God. Because if you fail to spend time with him, you're not going to make it. You have to take up your cross and follow daily. Faithful attendance, daily prayer and Bible studying, plus sharing Christ with others, these will bring victory over yourself. Cookie keeps talking about if we fill up our mind with enough of the things we're supposed to be filling it up with, there won't be room to have self-desire. If we put all the good that God has in and we put all the energy that we have into doing what God wants us to do, there won't be time. The opposite of that is true too. People use the term idle hands are the devil's playthings. We need to keep ourselves busy doing God's work. And if we keep busy and we keep focused on doing that, there won't be time for Satan to get in your ear. There won't be time for him to persuade you to be doing other things. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. We all know the Bereans, don't we? There's not a whole lot said about the Bereans in Scripture. But isn't it a great thing that the one thing they are known for is that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if such was true? Wouldn't it be great if one day the Lord Jesus Christ or God the Father said about the congregation meeting here that we were fair-minded because we searched the Scriptures daily? What a compliment. There's not a whole lot in there about the Bereans, but look at what is there. That's a tremendous comment or compliment, and it's a tremendous example for us. And the fourth thing he says, and follow me. And that requires a dauntless determination. We have to be determined to follow after God if we want to be successful. We have to be able to put an effort into it. I want to read very quickly, and we're rapidly running out of time, but I do want to read the example of Paul's determination. Because here is a man that we can look at as a follower of Christ who had to be determined and who, by all accounts from earthly thinking, could have given up at any time based on what we're about to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 22 through 28. He says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. Verse 24, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. If you studied what that means, the law would not allow you to beat a man 40 times. So he received 40 minus 1. And on multiple occasions. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils of the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Stop and think about that. Look at all the suffering that he went through. His willingness to follow after Christ, he was determined. He didn't let any of these things stop him. And we say, somebody might make fun of me. We say, it's embarrassing. I might look silly. We've never been beaten. We've never been stoned. I don't think any of us have ever been shipwrecked. I can't speak for everybody. But over and over and over, in perils, in perils, in perils, in perils, in perils. The easy thing to do is just give up. Unless you have a dauntless determination. Unless you say, nothing is going to stop me from following him. You know, I think about blind Bartimaeus and the story of blind Bartimaeus, and to a much smaller degree, he was the same way. He was not going to allow the crowd to prevent him from getting to Christ, no matter what it took. He knew Christ was coming. He did everything he could. Zacchaeus, the same thing. Somebody that was not going to allow anybody from preventing him or to prevent him from getting to Christ and learning of him and following him. It takes a dauntless determination, and it takes effort, and there may be some struggles. Christ, in his teachings in the Sermon on the Mount that we're studying on Wednesday evenings right now, show us the importance of determination. Matthew 5, chapter 19 and 20 talks about whoever breaks even the least of one of these, the least of my commandments. We have to work hard to do the right things. It's a great example. Tonight I said, I just did a lesson on making sure that we say what we mean and we mean what we say, and then I turned around and was just guilty of not doing it. We have to be determined to let our light shine. We have to work hard to make that happen. In 38 verse through 45, it talks about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You've heard all these things. You know what? He says to love your enemy, to bless those who persecute you. That takes determination. It's hard. Ernest has said himself, somebody strikes me, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to turn around and strike him back. That's not what Christ says, though, is it, Ernest? No. Anybody else? That's not what Christ says.
No.
Christ says, go ahead and let him hit you on the other cheek, doesn't he?
Yes.
That's, so, is that a hard thing to do?
Yes.
Is it hard to hold back? Might be somebody has to be there to grab your arm and prevent you from lifting it up. It takes a determination to do what God wants you to do. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. If it's difficult, then it's going to take determination to get there. So we need to have that determination. And then Matthew 7, 21, verse 20 through 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And he goes on to say that many will say unto me, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There are going to be many that said, I prophesied about you. I've done what you said. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Just because you say you did a few things. Go back to the rich young ruler. He had a laundry list, we'd say, of what he'd done. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. What does Christ say? You still lack something. You showed your determination, but show me more. Show me more. So if we're to follow after Christ, as we're taught by his own words, we need a dauntless determination. If you think of the idea of a bulldog, we need to develop a bulldog-like tenacity, a never-give-up, a do-or-die attitude. No matter what it takes, I'm going to follow Christ. No matter what the cost, no matter what I have to do, I don't care what other people are going to say about me, I'm going to do it because that's what I'm supposed to do. And that's what I want to do. Determination, with God's help, brings victory in one of our greatest battles. The battle over self. And it is a battle. Make no mistake about it. There are going to be things that you want to do. There are going to be things that you struggle with. And they're different for each and every one of us. But you all know what I'm talking about. You all know those things that pull at you and try and distract you from doing what's right. Maybe it's as simple as spending too much time watching sports and not enough time reading the Bible. Maybe it's, here we go again, gamers, but maybe it's playing too many video games. Maybe it's I spend 2 or 3 hours a day on Facebook talking to people that some I don't even know, but I don't have time for God the Father. We all have something that might be pulling on us. And it's only through hard determination and God's help that we can overcome ourselves. And that's what Christ expects us to do. That's what God expects us to do. God says, I expect you to do it, but I'll help you. And your brothers and sisters are here to help you. And so if at this time you know of something that you need to overcome, we invite you to come forward, make that known. Let us help you in whatever way we can while we stand and sing.